This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Jason Isbell. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Eric Holland at WFUV. Eric, this episode is a little different. So you got to go out to the Beacon Theater, and you got to watch Jason perform live. And then we caught up with him a little bit later for the interview.
That's right. You kind
of had that context going into it. Tell me about that live performance and the songs that we're going to hear and chatting with him.
Well, it was a great night at the Beacon. He did a sound check performance for FUV listeners,
right. And
he was very generous. Not only did he do a few full songs from the new album, Foxes in the Snow, but he also played one of his Stone classics, which we will also hear in this session. So he was very present, and there was just a small group of listeners, but he really kind of gave him the love, which was
sweet.
A great way to start. So then I went over and had some Vietnamese food with the midday maven, Alisa Ali, between the sound check and the session and the show, and went back, and he launched right into it. Played songs from his new album, which at that point hadn't been released yet.
Right.
But the audience was rapt, and they went over in a big way, and I loved his little asides. I also am crazy about the fact that this is kind of a New York album.
Yeah.
You know, first one he's ever recorded here. He was talking about how he could hear the trains, the subway, underneath Electric Lady Studios there in the Village. And he mentions the Village in one of the songs that he didn't play. It's called Open and Close.
Nice.
And he's talking about hanging out in the Village, and he sees a guitarist just botch the solo on Steely Dan's Kid Charlemagne. So it's not like a Rain Dogs or a Some Girls where it's like super New York, but there is a little of that spirit
sprinkle,
in there.
Sprinkle. A New York sprinkle. And we're going to hear, the first song we're going to hear in the session is from the new album, right?
That's right.
What is this song that listeners are about to hear?
From Foxes in the Snow, the solo acoustic album from Jason Isbell. Here's Bury Me, FUV Live.
Bury me where the wind don't blow, where the dust won't cover me, where the tall grass grows. Or bury me right where I fall, Tokyo to Tennessee, I love them all. See the windmills turn up 55, still got so much to learn, still feel alive. And one lonely girl is all I need to tie me to this world and make me believe. Well, I ain't no cowboy, but I can ride. And I ain't no outlaw, but I've been inside. And there were bars of steel, boys, and there were bars to sing, and there were bars with swinging doors for all the time between. Bury me in the last few lines of an obituary for these trying times. Find an old live oak to carve my name, hard liquor and dirty jokes and cheap picture frames. Well, I ain't no cowboy, but I can ride. And I ain't no outlaw, but I've been inside. There were men of stone, boys, and there were men of sand. Long nights alone, boys, head in my hand. No cowboy, but I can ride. And I ain't no outlaw, but I've been inside. And there were bars of steel, boys, and there were bars to sing, and there were bars with swinging doors for all the time between. There were bars with swinging doors for all the time between.
It's an FUV live session with Jason Isbell. That was Bury Me. Jason, you opened your performance with that at the Beacon on Friday night, February 21st. It also opens the new album, Foxes in the Snow. I'm thinking that one is maybe kind of a touring fight song.
I don't know. You know, it is what it is. I mean, I started singing and that came out. So I didn't stop till I got done. And then I went back and edited. It's sometimes, honestly, the longer I've gone on writing songs, the less I've concerned myself with where they start, you know. Where it ended was with one that felt like it was heavy, but it wasn't necessarily sad, you know, and that's what I like to do.
Maybe a little bit of see that my grave's kept clean DNA in there as well?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly some of that. I mean, yeah, this song is, you could trace every part of this song back, really, as far as you wanted to go.
On a continuum, you know, a blind Lemon Jefferson reference there. Chet Atkins or, you know, Ronnie Van Zant to Townes Van Zant. Are there any kind of touchstones where you were kind of channeling or tapping into some of the great artists who've helped shaped you?
Well, I'm sure I was unconsciously ripping a lot of people off. That Norman Blake comes to mind for the guitar style on that particular song. But it's such a, you know, I grew up, my grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher and played old time music and gospel music. So I grew up with that being nature for me, you know, that type of music, those kind of melodies and stuff. And so it felt good to start off a solo acoustic record, sort of the way that I started making music in the first place, was with this type of a traditional melody and traditional themes.
Foxes in the Snow, your first solo album in a decade. First entirely acoustic album, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, it feels like a first solo album ever, really, because, you know, solo album with other people playing isn't exactly solo. This one's just me.
Yeah. And first time you've recorded in New York, right?
Yeah, for an album, for sure. I've done other things, but for a record, yeah, I did this one at Electric Lady, which is kind of silly considering it's a solo acoustic record, but but it's a good room. I had a good time.
If you'll excuse the pun, any experience in that studio?
Oh, you know, definitely not with ghosts or anything, but with the subway, if you listen really, really closely, you can hear the subway sometimes on this recording. And, it's nice. I like it. It makes it feel sort of alive. Gives it a place if you know what to look for.
I got to tune in for that. I didn't notice it on my first few spins.
It's way down deep. I mean, it is not very loud. But I was out having dinner right after that, ran into John Mayer, and he said, you know, that place has got songs in the walls. And I said, yeah, we have studios like that in Nashville, too. But then the walls ask for some songwriting money. In Nashville, you have to pay the walls a third, you know.
So were you hanging out in the Village for those 5 days when you were recording?
Sometimes I was. My girlfriend lives in town, so I stay with her. She doesn't live in the Village, but it's all, compared to where I grew up, it's all close, you know. I used to have to drive half an hour to get to a stop sign. So everything in New York's pretty close.
Well, I'm glad you're dating a New Yorker. That'll maybe give us some more opportunities to cross paths with you.
Yeah. You know, I love being in the city. It's as much humanity as you want to engage in at all times, you know, which is nice because that was not an option when I was growing up in Alabama. And sometimes it's not living in Nashville either. It feels really good to be able to engage with such a huge community of different kinds of people at any time.
When you were there at Electric Lady, Gina Johnson was helping out.
Gina. Yeah, she's Midwestern. That's a hard G. She's yeah.
And I know you go back with her, and she was on Weather Vanes and some other things. So did she play a big role in helping to shape things?
Yeah, for sure. Initially, I was thinking, you know, I would play and I would produce, and Gina would engineer. She's a brilliant engineer. But after just a little while, I mean, not even a day, it occurred to me that Gina's basically producing this record too. So we went forward credited that way. And it, I think, gave her, you know, the when you're engineering a record, you don't want to make a whole awful lot of suggestions that you might make if you're co-producing one. And we had a blast. I love Gina. We've worked together on a bunch of projects, my own and other people's too. And she gets really, really good sounds and has great ideas and just one of the best, really.
What a rich tone. You were playing a real old beauty as far as your guitar goes, right?
Yeah, it's an old Martin 017 from 1940, and so when it was made, you know, it was sort of at the low end of the Martin range. It wasn't like an expensive guitar at the time. All mahogany except the fingerboard and the bridge. Everything else is pretty much mahogany on that guitar, and it sits, it's a small guitar, so it sits in a spot where it made me feel really comfortable, and I could control it, you know, as I moved it around on the microphone. It worked out really, really well for that record.
It's got the Brazilian rosewood on the fingerboard.
Yep, the Brazilian on the board and the bridge also. Mm. Yeah, and this one, I got it at Retrofret in Brooklyn. So my friend Shira over there, I just called her, and I was staying in New York a lot, and I said, I need a guitar for the city, you know, and is this, I saw it online. I was like, is that one a good one? And she said, yeah, it's great. And I said, well, send it over. And so it's been in New York since I got it.
But I don't think I saw it at the Beacon on February 21st, where these songs are coming from that we're listening to.
Yeah, the old acoustics I don't really tour with. I've got some old pre-war Martins and old Gibsons and stuff, and I keep those at home because humidity changes and pressure changes can be really rough on guitars that age. So I use new Martins on tour, and that works really, really well.
It's Eric Holland talking with Jason Isbell. The new album is Foxes in the Snow. How about the title and the artwork on this thing, Jason?
The title, you know, I like to pick titles from song lyrics when I can. And also I feel like the title of a record is maybe the most true art that you get to perform when you're making a record, because it's so arbitrary. You know, it only has the value that you apply to it. The songs, sometimes they serve a different purpose, but titling an album, I mean, some of my favorite records have just really, really stupid titles. And I think that makes it...
Example.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, you know. Rubber Soul, that's a pun. Rubber Soul is a pun on this whole... Like, come on, that is dumb. But it's beautiful because I don't mean by dumb, I mean that they should have gone with something else. I think it's great because it's art, you know, and sometimes the rest of a song or an album is craft, you know, or entertainment. But that title, you know, I felt like it summed up the whole record in a nice way to me. Duality of beauty and all that. But the album art, Anna Wyant did the album art, did a beautiful job with that. It was a painting that she'd already done, and I said, you know, I would love to use one of your paintings for the album art, and that's the one that she came up with, and I think it's gorgeous. I think it works really, really well.
And how did that artwork speak to the art that you had made with the new record?
You know, that's not my job, Eric.
Fair enough.
That's your job. That's everybody else's job.
Well, let's listen to the title track to Foxes in the Snow, recorded at the Beacon February 21st this year, 2025, FUV Live.
I love my love. I love her mouth. I love the way she turns the lights off in her house. And I love my love and her velvet bed, where she's heard me sing the words that can't be said, and all the dreams that die unseen, all the dive and hide remain it took to put my soul to sleep. Now it's easy. I love my love, her golden hair. I like to picture her alone when I'm not there. And I like her friends, the ones I know. And they leave drops of blood like foxes in the snow. And all the beasts beneath her bed she defeats and leaves for dead and falls asleep inside my head. Seems so easy. I love my love. I love her bite. I like the way she disassembles me at night. And I love her well. And I like her sick. I love the carrot, but I really like the stick. And of all the boys I could have been, and all the fights I didn't win, it put me here against her skin, and she can see me.
FUV Live, that is Foxes in the Snow from the album of the same name from Jason Isbell. It's FUV Live. That one really just made me connect with a character and just want to know more about this character.
Yeah, I think that winds up being the case for a whole lot of us, you know. I think it's more important to know yourself sometimes in those situations, in all situations, really. Yeah. That song's weird, you know, because I started with the chord changes and they just sort of led me where I wanted to go lyrically. And I think it sounds like a simpler song than it is, which makes me really happy. Anytime I can pull that trick off, it makes me happy.
Foxes in the Snow as a solo acoustic album gives us a chance to enjoy your gifts as a lyricist and your guitar playing and your voice. Are there any particular moments that you're especially proud of from it that you can point to?
Well, that the title track, that was hard to play and sing at the same time. That was very hard. That one, Ride to Roberts, both of those, they're hard to play and sing at the same time for me. So I felt like I stretched my own abilities there. You know, I didn't do any overdubs, so everything, I'm always playing and singing at the same time. So that can be, you kind of have to flip a switch in your head where you stop worrying about whether or not you're going to screw it up, because if not, then it's going to sound rote in a way. It's going to sound like you're just really focused on playing the right notes, and you don't want that. As far as the singing goes, this song, Eileen, is in a much lower register than anything that I have sang on record before. And I've been singing it in that key live, too, and it feels really good. It used to be that I didn't have the breath control to support singing that low. But over the past year, I've been working with a vocal coach and really sort of learning how to sing. Before, I think I was just hollering for 30 years. And it was, I tell people that, a lot of people are like, you're a great singer. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, could I do the job? I can do the job. What I'm talking about is the actual technical way that you control the sound that's coming out of your mouth, you know, and be able to do it for an extended period of time. And it has made a huge difference in my life. And that song, I'm really proud of the singing on Eileen, because it's just very low and very quiet, but it's also stable, which is something I always had trouble with.
any other albums or books, novels, architecture, films, experiences that helped shape this album?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, it's been a lot of change in my life over the past year and a half. But it always kind of seems like that's the case. I think for me, I'm trying to be the kind of person who makes hard decisions, doesn't wind up in rooms metaphorically and without knowing how I got there. You know, even if I make big mistakes, I like to know how I got where I am. And I feel like all the albums are a document of that process and document of a period of time. But this one to me was more influenced, I think, by the music that I made before anybody ever heard me make any music. You know, the things that I played alone in my room, Leo Kaki and you know, the old Jackson Browne records and Nick Drake, and then like, I don't know, country music, Willie Nelson kind of moments on this record to me, where the melody sounds like something that you've heard before, because you have. I mean, let's be honest, you've heard everything at some point. You know, if somebody come up with a melody I haven't heard yet, it's not going to be one that I'm going to enjoy, because we're hardwired to, you know, get that tension and release in a certain way. But yeah, I just kind of let go of all of it and stopped worrying about being comfortable, and just turn the tap on and let it run for this record. And that felt really good to me.
Yeah, it really does have that feel where it's just, it's so intimate, and it feels like it's just, yeah, it's our pal sitting down and banging some tunes out.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the best, you know, sometimes that's the best thing for the person making the music and the person listening to it, is this idea that it's not magic. You know, it's like cooking a meal for somebody. You know, you offer something, make something and offer it to them. They might not like it, but, you know, they'll have to pretend they do until we're all out of the room.
Well, a couple of great nights at the Beacon under your belt, and you're going to be back in our part of the world again in July with the 400 unit in Red Bank.
Yeah, so I love it up there.
To that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
And wanted to say good on you for your role in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, thank you. That's a tough gig. I did not know what I was doing, but they were very helpful. Everybody on set was very, very helpful, and I asked a lot of dumb questions and got a lot of good answers and really enjoyed it. What a story.
That was a great line you had on stage at the Beacon. I forget what song you were about to go into, but you mentioned that sometimes what you're wearing affects the song you write.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely.
You wrote something on set, right?
Yeah, because I mean, I was dressed up like a, you know, 1920s. I was in my costume and sitting in a trailer waiting on the storms to pass, because we were filming in Oklahoma. And yeah, motivated to write some stuff that kind of sounded like old time music for once. You know, it's not often that I'm dressed like that.
And do you have another role coming up? Something with RZA?
Yeah, I did a movie with RZA. I was just there for a couple of days, and we worked on a song together, he and I, which was pretty great, because it was kind of like a singer-songwriter, like a folk song that he wrote some of and then sent it to me, and we went back and forth and worked on it together. But yeah, he's brilliant, and extremely hardworking person, and to get to know him a little bit and be on the set there, and it was a blast. It was great.
Yeah, can't wait to hear that. Well, I guess we got to wave aloha here. Thanks so much for the hang.
Yeah, thank you.
And let's wrap up the FUV live session with Jason Isbell by going back about 8 years to the Nashville Sound album, another recording from the Beacon Show. And this one ponders immortality and may just live forever as one of the great love songs.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
This is If We Were Vampires at FUV Live. Thank you.
you're in, or the light coming off of your skin, the fragile heart you've protected for so long, or the mercy in your sense of right and wrong. It's not your hand searching slow in the dark, or your nails leaving love's watermark. It's not the way you taught me off the road. Your questions like directions to the truth. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. One day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone. If we were vampires and death was a joke, we'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke and laugh at all the lovers and their plan. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand, but maybe time running out is a gift. So I work hard till the end of my shift to give you every second I can find, and hope it isn't me who's left behind. Knowing that this can't go on forever, it's likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. Oh, but one day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone.
Was Jason Isbell performing and in conversation for FUV Live. A big thank you to Jason for sitting down with me following his performance at the Beacon Theater. Thanks as well to Southeastern and 30 Tigers. Thank you as well to the Beacon Theater in New York for sharing audio from Jason's performance with us for this episode. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York. I'm Eric Holland for WFUV.